B-Pod Studios.
Company has unlimited money and resources. You need a firm who can fight them toe-to-toe. Everybody is a somebody, and nobody is a nobody. Visit ForThePeople.com to learn about our firm. Morgan & Morgan, For the People.
Offices, Philadelphia.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station. Home of 76ers basketball.
Joel Embiid crashes in with a jam.
Flyers hockey.
Oh, what a save by Carter Hart. Spectacular glove work by the Flyer net binder.
And Barzetta in the morning.
Oh, come on.
Plug in.
97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Mark Barzetta, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Pat Egan with you today. Our thanks to Crystal Ridge coming in the last 2 days. Had a lot of fun with Crystal. We appreciate it. Happy Bobby Bonilla Day. It's July 1st. June is in the books. First half. Is it now technically the first half of 2020 in the books?
Yeah.
Is it done now? First half of it? So now we're in the second half of this.
Can the second half be any worse?
Craptastic twister that we've had in the year 2020 thus far. Maybe Bobby Bonilla Day will be the first day of something great. Maybe that's what's going to happen. In case you don't know the reference, Bobby Bonilla gets $1.2 million, essentially, until the year 2035. This deal will take him till he's 72 years old. He'll get $1.2 million every July 1st from now until he's 72 years old, and it's been going on for the past like 8 or 9 years.
Not a bad day. Do you like wait at the mailbox for the postman to come, or for the special delivery for the FedEx package to come? Like, I'm sorry, I'm sitting on the front porch all day.
Bob, you probably
the check's coming for $1,119,248.20. Good day. It's a good day for Bobby Bonilla.
It's literally Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah.
He has his own day.
Yeah.
But you probably know a lot of people like this, the guys that did the voiceovers for video games.
Right.
Like the basketball announcers or the baseball.
Yeah.
That's mailbox money, baby. That money just shows up in the mail. And you're like, oh, I get $7 today because I voiced over this thing in 1999 for NBA Live 98, 99, whatever it might have been. One of the great things they did was Vince Carter video games 20 years ago or 22 years ago versus Vince Carter when he looked like in video games now. Oh, man, great evolution.
The late, great Stan Hockman used to come into the office all the time and say, it came again, my check for $3.48 for doing Rocky 5 or 4 or whatever the hell it was.
Rocky 5. Yeah.
He was in Rocky 2, though, wasn't he, when he stood up at the press conference?
Wasn't he
an early one?
He might have been. I know that he was in Rocky V.
Yeah.
Because he had the glass chandelier, the jaw, more glass in his jaw than a chandelier.
Yeah. Great line.
And he suggested a different line to Stallone. And Stallone was like, this is the line.
Yeah.
Like, that was that. Like, what are
Don't
you talking
you
about?
Question me.
I wrote this, okay? I know you're a sports writer, but this is my movie. I wrote it. Boom. Just like that. So go figure. But
yeah.
It's Bobby Bonilla Day nonetheless.
Good for him.
What are you doing to celebrate?
I don't know. I'll figure something out. I'll celebrate, though. Don't you worry.
We got to move on to basketball. Right out of the little fun conversation there with Bobby Bonilla. But Adam Silver, I think, has done a tremendous job throughout the entire pandemic. He was the first commissioner to come out and just say, I don't know. He was the first commissioner to come out and more or less acknowledge that he can't control coronavirus. And he can't control the way people are acting to try to contain the virus, to try to keep it under wraps as much as possible, keep it under control, as I said. He did an interview yesterday where he was more or less asked a question. So once you guys start pretty much full speed ahead, and he was like, no. What are you, crazy? Like, that was kind of the way he answered the question. He said he can't look at a restart as something that is going to be foolproof. Once we start, we're not stopping. No, that's not the attitude he had at all. And he has taken such a backseat, as everybody in any walk of life should be doing when it comes to trying to control the pandemic that we're all still very much in. Whether you're listening to Dr. Fauci just put out yesterday, almost 100,000 cases per day is what our trajectory is right now. Cool. We're at like 40,000 over the last like 4 days. good job us. Not really. So these are all things that we still have to entertain. So one thing I want to examine today is how many people think still now when it comes to the NBA, will they crown a champion for the 2019-2020 season? Once they start up, will they actually be able to control what's going on? Only to the degree of being able to complete the startup.
And I'll tell you what, Adam Silver was so impressive in that interview, I thought, in that just what you alluded to, Mark, the guy asking the questions like, so it's full steam ahead, right? And the guy wasn't trying to catch Adam Silver off guard. Mm-hmm. He was basically following. Adam Silver had said he trusts the bubble. He trusts the process that they're going to go through as far as this COVID-19 goes. And he was saying all the right things in what he believes. So the guy was like, okay, so it is. And then he's like, no, whoa, whoa, no. You cannot say anything with this disease is full bore, you know, let's go. And I thought it was really impressive that he was like, yeah, we hope we're going. And then he's like, yeah, but I'm not an idiot thinking it's going to work or we might not have to make some justification, you know, some alterations. So I thought he was really good yesterday, further making me believe that he is by far the best commissioner of sports that you have right now.
I think he is. He's been great. And look, Roger Goodell. The draft was fine and all that.
Yeah, they've had it kind of easy.
They have. That's the thing, you got to grade him on a curve.
Yeah, exactly.
Like he hasn't had games to worry about just yet.
No, no, no.
And they've already canceled one, and good for them on that. And so far, like teams like the Eagles have said thanks, but no thanks to cashing the checks for season ticket holders as of right now. So that's a good thing. But Adam Silver has done a tremendous job throughout this entire process, and I give him a lot of credit for, again, not coming off as a guy that is trying to control a virus that we know that it can't be controlled. But I want to know from people, and we're going to ask this question as part of our Twitter poll today, brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Will we crown an NBA champion in 2020? For the 2019-2020 season, do people feel as if right now they will crown that champion? Because I know, look, it's going to take a lot after they do start up to shut it down. But that doesn't mean that's impossible. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have blind optimism and faith that they will be able to complete this. They'll be able to do it. But there is a lot of different theories that are being thrown out right now as to why they wouldn't be able to control the virus to the best of their ability. One is probably the most logical, and that's the one that Brian Windhorst told us about a week ago. And that was the fact that there's a big hole in this bubble. It's not foolproof. This bubble ain't made of steel by any means. There's a big hole, not even a crack, a giant gaping hole where they're allowing the hotel workers, the restaurant workers to be in and out. And look, you can't just trap them and keep them in prison, right? They have to have a life as well.
Sure.
But if it's also a life where you want to make sure that you have your job, maybe they would be up for staying on the premises and being taken care of in the same way that maybe some of these NBA players are being taken care of. Obviously not where everyone's going to get their own room or something like that. Maybe you have bunk mates. But maybe they'd be up for it. Evidently not, because they chose not to do it. So right now, those workers that are going to be catering to those NBA players in this NBA bubble are coming and going back to their life in Florida and then back to the premises, the campus atmosphere that will be the bubble.
I saw a tweet yesterday, and I don't know it to be 100% true, but it was from a verified reporter account.
Okay.
And it said Florida had more cases in the past 7 days than all of the EU.
Than all of the EU?
Wow.
Oh, that's just wonderful.
So to put that in perspective for you, that's where they're trying to get the league done. But I'm with you. Optimistically, whatever you want to call it, looking through NBA goggles, I think they will crown a champion.
Well, yeah. One thing on the EU real quick, did you see they were like, hey, America, stay out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They closed the borders to us. I would, too.
Yeah. Sorry, are you American?
Yeah, no question.
What, are you crazy? You're not coming over here.
Yeah.
Hey, can I go see the Coliseum? Hit the bricks, America.
Yeah, I had a wedding. My cousin was getting married in Germany in September, and he made the decision after, early June to postpone it. And I said, dude, you're making the right decision.
Yeah.
There's a good chance we won't even be allowed to come, and we have a large family, and I know you were looking forward to all the visitors, so good decision.
I had a wedding in London to go to.
Yeah,
they
waited
to the last possible second,
and
then like 3 weeks later, it's like, yeah, by the way, Americans aren't invited anymore. You're not invited to this
party. Your decision was the right one.
Like, that's how we look right now. And to get, I know I said it yesterday in the same segment, but I remember my friend tweeting out the graph and just said, wow, we're bad at this. Tracking like where like Europe went and like where Asia went and then like where we went. It's like, oh, wow, we were trending down and now back up.
Yeah.
Like, we suck at this.
We're not great at this.
And, so I'd like to be better.
Yeah. And one of the governors, it just doesn't look good at all lately. DeSantis from Florida.
Florida, yeah, yeah.
And I really, like last night I'm watching him and, you know, and I'm just thinking, oh my God, this is where our sports are going to. Like, whether you like it or not, Adam Silver's the leader of the NBA. The leader of that state is just, like, not handling this well at all.
Yeah, they should have picked, like, French Lick, Indiana, and just, like, build a field, you know, in a field.
You're right, because you're worried about the decisions that they make there, you know? And Adam Silver's got to be worried about the governor down there and whether his, you know, kind of just cavalier attitude about all this, is that going to affect him trying to get this league started again? Hopefully not, but you just don't know.
Well, when we heard about the NHL finding those hub cities, one of the first hub cities that came out was in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, well, that's a great idea,
yeah,
actually, because you're completely away from everybody. Like, you can be as isolated as possible. I just don't think that you would get even NHL players to agree to go to North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
NBA players certainly aren't going to agree to go to North Dakota either, right? But when you have this issue as you have right now, you got to worry about these two things. One is about the people that are working and catering to these NBA stars.
Mm-hmm.
The other is something I didn't even want to go down the road because it would make me just way too pessimistic. Enter Stephen A. Smith, who goes down this road, basically saying you might not be able to contain the workers from going back to their normal lives. Will you be able to contain the players that want to venture off campus or invite other or more people that have been off campus on campus in order to do the hibbity-dibbity?
Yeah.
It's a very real problem. I know it's funny. I know it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's also, at the same time, not that far off. He's on to something. It sounds silly, but let's not forget, these are young men that, you know,
they have needs.
They have needs. Not everybody's got a significant other. Maybe a lot of them have others that are very significant. A lot of them. You know what I mean?
I've never been sexually gratified from a jump shot, Mark. Have you?
Oh,
I could say I definitely have not.
Okay. That'd be weird if you did, but
I think I hit one junior year that I was all right. Yeah. Right. No, but it's funny. Stephen A. did bring this up, and you think, like, oh, man, he's out of the box. But my first thought was,
he's right.
No, he's talked to players.
Yeah.
Like, players have said, yo, dude, you think they're going to lock me in a hotel for 3 months, possibly, but at least a month before I'm allowed to have anybody come in, and I'm just going to sit there? And I love when he's going on his little tirade. I don't know who the girl was on the show. She said, oh, no, but Stephen A., they're going to have, like, ping pong. And I hope she was saying it tongue-in-cheek. They're going to have ping pong tournaments and all. I mean, there's going to be stuff for them to do.
Jump shots, never made it move. Ping pong.
Yeah,
even worse. I don't know this to be scientifically accurate, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think the NBA players are the horniest of the four sports. I'm just throwing that out.
No, there's scientific data to back that up. Remember, remember the study in Miami?
No.
Remember the study in Atlanta?
No.
Good gentlemen's clubs?
Yeah.
It's science.
So I do have science on my side with that statement.
Fauci actually did a press conference about it yesterday, that he was talking about it at length. So there you go. So if you got to talk about two cracks in the bubble here, one, workers. Two, dad ass.
Yeah.
Let the boy watch.
So those are a couple of things we got to be concerned about. And bad news for Philadelphia with the green phase being postponed even more now. So we're just doing a bang up.
Yeah.
Job.
Chef Mark Vetri was kind of sounding off last night.
Oh, I didn't see my man.
Yeah. He's none too pleased.
I feel for these businesses, man. I really feel so bad.
Restaurants take up, I think, somewhere between 12 and 13% of all U.S. employment. So the government should have helped these restaurants a lot more than they did.
And then the other part of it is also the gyms. Like, I feel bad for gym owners.
I don't know if gyms will ever bounce back, to be honest with you.
But here's the deal. If you're a gym owner that is trying to practice social distancing and you own, let's say, a small place, not like these big, giant
restaurants. Yeah.
But you're like, you only allow 3 people in at a time, 5 people in at a time, and it's appointment only, kind of being able to use the equipment. Like, I saw one guy, I think in Manioc, moved his gym equipment outside. It's a boxing gym.
Huh? I saw that.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, well, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it is a great idea if you have the space.
Sidewalk space, right? Yeah. But that's the only way he might be able to keep his head above water.
It's really sad what's happening. And the gym was nasty before all this. So, you know, I've talked to a couple people that are like, I just I don't see myself ever going back. I'm going to have to get at-home gym equipment.
I think I belong to like two gyms that I don't go to, but I think I stopped paying. Anyway, so maybe I don't belong. I don't really know. But that's why I put together the weight bench, and now I'm getting all swole. So there you go. Watch out for that. Watch out for that. I don't know if you noticed that in my driving abilities yesterday. I had the longest drive for a brief second when we were all playing with our buddy Dan.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and Jamie, so did you. We both got later.
Temporarily.
It was nice while it lasted.
Took a picture while it lasted.
That was we were out on the golf course yesterday, so that was good. Social distancing, and they were doing the masks.
Yeah.
Not on the course. Oh, yeah. If you had to go inside for anything, you put that mask on.
I was comfortable yesterday there. Like, I was, you know, there wasn't guys close to each other. And like you said, when we ate before the round and all, and you guys ate afterwards, people were very conscious of other people around, keeping distances, keeping masks on.
You missed quite the dinner, my man.
I know. Mark filled me in when we walked in this morning.
See, that's the thing. If you're not a member and you get invited by a member to be at a place, right, that's where you totally act like you're 12 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And your dad's like, here's $20, go in the candy store.
I think I ate 3 ice cream sandwiches.
Did you? You
no, said he had two.
You did? Oh, okay.
I had one on the ride home.
That made the day worth it, as far as I was concerned. But no, they had rules. If you were going to order a drink inside, you had to have your mask on in order to do that. So I thought that was very responsible. So we'll continue this conversation about the NBA and whether or not you feel like they are definitely going to crown a champion. I'm going to err on the side of optimism, all right? But I am entertaining the curiosity and the worry people have about whether or not they actually will. Because it's not even about the NBA championship anymore. It's about whether or not, as a society, we can do this. Can we do what they've done in other countries, which is restart and keep going?
Yeah,
and that's what we're going to try to do here.
Another thing I love that Adam Silver said, he said, you know, they have a group of scientists. So they have, you know, obviously they have studied this tremendously. And he said, look, we're looking to see if maybe we can build a plan for other businesses, other organizations, maybe, you know, and reading into what he said, maybe other sports that can build something to make it work, that you can put a little society together, because that's what this bubble is. It's going to be their own little society. If they can do something and they can show the rest of the country, like, look, hey, this works if you just study the rules. So it'll be interesting. I agree with you. I'm going to vote that they will crown a champion. I'm going to say they're going to push through and it's going to come to a head.
Look at us being optimistic and whatnot. Jamie, they crowning a champion?
Yeah, I do believe they'll get it done, because I think it's going to take something huge, like 20% of the league, to catch it. And oddly, I was encouraged from the sample size of Major League Baseball's testing. They had, you know, nearly 2,000 players tested. And I hate to say only, but only about 5% tested positive. So I think that's I hate to use this word when dealing with a pandemic, but a manageable number. So, you know, it's a smaller sample size than the NBA. I think if they stay in that 5-7% range, I think it can be done.
I heard Woj talk about this yesterday, and he said that there is a real concern amongst players about catching it. He said,
Well,
he said a lot of people have picked up the opinion that these guys are young guys,
in great shape,
will be okay. Yeah, guess what? I still don't want to feel like crap for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the mindset.
And watch my team play and be stuck in a bubble.
Watch my team play and then also watch possibly my coach catch it.
Right.
Like, yeah.
That's a real concern amongst these players. I know some people default to the laissez-faire attitude that these players might be adopting, saying, oh, you know what? What if it happens, it happens. I know that has come out in Major League Baseball, where there's been a couple of reporters that said, oh, we're young, we're fine, we'll take care of it. Especially, you also have 60 games, and you can socially distance a little bit more from your manager. In basketball, they're right there in your face.
Yeah.
They're right there talking. So that's a bigger concern than people are really willing to acknowledge. Because I haven't heard many people say, oh, players are concerned about it. Yeah, no, the players are concerned about it. And it's not just for themselves. It's also for their coaches. And the guy, I feel bad because we're going to make him to be about 100 years old by the time this is done, Greg Popovich.
Yeah. And, well, that's, you know, look how naive we were back on, say, March 8th, 9th, when stuff was going on. We probably talked about it and said, oh, what would it take for the NBA to shut down? Oh, they're not going to shut down. Well, what if a player got it? And then it was like, oh, wow, I don't know.
Right.
And then, boom, a player got it, and the NBA was like, oh, wow, shut down, boom. Are we being so naive now as to say there could be an NBA player that gets it and also gets really, really sick?
Mm-hmm.
Almost to a point where, like, daily we're getting updates of how he's doing. God forbid, but are we just being naive saying, oh, no, athletes, they're fine. They're not. Like, we've seen plenty of stuff on Twitter throughout the country of perfectly healthy people, very good healthy people, younger people, 18 to 25, that get this thing, and it really, you know, takes its toll for a long, long time. So that's what I hope to God does not happen.
Yeah, Greg Popovich, 71 years old, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's like five starters. Coaches, I think, in the league, Mark, that are like right around that 70-year-old age. Yeah.
Not a good age, unfortunately, for everything that's been going on, even though, you know, it's not a rumor. It was a rumor for a long time that it was only old people.
Yeah.
You want to talk about March, what we thought in March? That was one of the things we thought in March, and that's certainly not the case anymore, especially in Florida and in other parts of the country where you're seeing more of a spike with 25 to 41-year-olds. That's just a crazy thing that we have changed our mindset on since the start of all this. So we'll continue that conversation today. 9 o'clock today, and we will, even before then, talk a little football. Adam Kaplan's going to join us from Inside Birds Podcast. He has an interesting little tidbit about Zach Ertz and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles say, according to Adam Kaplan, they want to extend Zach Ertz, but we're not going to see a deal done until we see George Kittle get his deal done.
Yeah, I don't get this. We can get into it deeper on the other side, but it confuses me.
So usually the older guy will kind of set the market?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they beat that.
And then they try to top that for the younger guy because he's younger.
Yeah, you're giving in saying, well, he'll get more, but I want to get something close to him, is what it appears like on the surface.
Yeah, and their whole philosophy has been trying to lock players up before market value.
Exactly.
Right.
So I when you told me this last night, I was like, huh?
Carson Wentz, for instance, an example of that. They said, now, it happened first with Russell Wilson, and then shortly thereafter, Carson Wentz got, like, what, $500,000 more? Like, that, just whatever it would take at the time to get the most.
Right.
That's kind of how it works.
That's what it is.
So this is a little atypical of Howie Roseman. So if that's the case, we'll dissect it.
He's trying something different. You buried the lead today, by the way.
I buried the lead?
Yeah. You better hit it on the other side.
I'm clueless. What do you got?
What was your first confrontation like after the toilet incident? I mean, people need to know this, Mark.
We were asked about it on the course yesterday, Mark.
We were
twice.
A stranger came up to me and said, yo, which is the one that saw his mother-in-law on the toilet? I said, over there.
And you missed it, Bob. We were going to get dinner, and some guy was out on the patio, and he goes, Farzi, where are the in-laws?
And I was like, at home, where I'm not. They're lovely people. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Will there be an NBA champion? Are you confident once the bubble is started up, they will complete? Time at the Fanatic is 622.
97.5, the Fanatic.
All right, so here you go. I'll put a bow on the story for you, Bobby.
And yes, toilet paper bow, we'll call it.
Yeah, right. I addressed the issue. I went home after the show. And my wife and my mother-in-law, in case you missed it yesterday, I will now live the rest of my life as someone who has seen his mother-in-law in the can.
You so and Brandon Graham.
Me and Brandon Graham apparently have that in common. You know, I'm learning I got a lot in common with some Eagles greats. One, Brian Dawkins and I are Fedora brothers, no big deal. And the other is that Brandon Graham and I have both seen our mother-in-laws on the can.
Thank you, 97.
I got to tell you, that Fedora did a lot of things for you yesterday.
It
was a fashion item. Kept your dome from sunburning.
Uh-huh.
Held your cigar at points. Marked one of Jamie's many wayward balls. I was impressed with the fedora yesterday.
Long drive holes aren't good because then I try to swing out of my shoes all day.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And you had like, you did it.
I had some good ones and some really bad ones.
My favorite line was, we get done one hole and Dan asked the score and I tell, I had a five. And he's like, Jamie, what'd you have? And Jamie goes, well, I don't know. Are we counting the three that I put on the road?
Let the record show I did take a 9 on a hole. Nonetheless, here's the deal. I had said yesterday that I was walking up the steps 2 nights ago now.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard my wife, I heard her toothbrush, her electric toothbrush. And I usually that's the all clear that she's off the toilet herself. And I can...
That's her last business to do before she gets out.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I hear that, and I walk into the bathroom, and I see my wife at the sink, because as soon as you crack open the door, you look, and there's the sink, and then you open it more, and then you can see the toilet in the corner. And I opened the door more, and there was no like, oh my God, no, come in here.
That's the oddest part to me.
It was a look like, okay, like everything was fine, like nothing was different. And I kept opening, and then I saw my mother-in-law for the split second that it was, and that it had been just now. Yeah. Unfortunately, I didn't see anything.
You didn't see underwear around the knees or anything like that?
I didn't really pull focus.
Okay, good.
But
for you.
I did know enough to see that that was my mother-in-law. I identified the person on the toilet as my mother-in-law.
All right, well,
and that she, in fact, was on the toilet. So now that's in my face and in my head for the rest of my life. And I quickly closed the door and walked out. And then when I went home yesterday, she was in the third floor. She was on the third floor bedroom with my wife, who was working. And I was like, oh, hey, by the way, Mary, sorry about the...
You confronted it.
Oh, absolutely.
I think that's a good job by you.
Head on.
Yeah, sorry.
So I said, Mary, by the way, usually when I hear my wife's toothbrush, that's the all clear to go in. And I wasn't expecting somebody else in the bathroom. She's like, oh, I didn't even think about it. No big deal. And that was the end of it. But then I go to the golf course and two people reference it immediately.
Yeah.
Complete strangers. So there you go. So
we had people asking me and Jamie about it. We were hitting the shot before you got there. People were coming up and asking us about it.
So all good, man. All good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, no, I'm so sorry.
I think
scarred.
We pulled you out of your little haze yesterday. Like, we had a good time on the golf course.
Yes.
A lot of fun. It was good. And I kept my eye on you as much as I tried to, to make sure that we were doing our job, Jamie and I, of pulling you out of that haze.
Thank you.
And it worked. But today, shoulders were slumped again. The color has left, your face.
I got more color yesterday. I got some nice sun yesterday. Well, I was kissed by the sun, Bob.
The fedora helped protect you a little bit.
One word, once again, I'll tell you. I'll remind you every time. Functional. That's why I wear the fedora.
Uh-huh.
Highly functional on the golf course.
It did you well yesterday.
It did me well, exactly. Yeah. It helped starting off with a par, and then I took a 9. But anyway, so that was my
By the way,
yesterday.
Starting off on a par 3 is just cruel.
It's not cool.
It's not good.
And the way we were playing yesterday in terms of the tournament setup, it was different. It was mind-boggling.
Yeah, I still don't understand what we did.
I like it more than the regular scramble. And I don't care what anybody says, scrambles take longer than any other form of golf ever.
Yeah.
Ever. But nonetheless, so Adam Silver yesterday with the NBA, I feel has done a tremendous job, as I said in the opening of the show. He's done a good job of realizing and acknowledging that he can't control something that is uncontrollable. He doesn't have the persona of somebody arrogant enough to say, oh, you know what? Hey, coronavirus, you work for me now. Like, that's not how it works with Adam Silver, which I appreciate. So yesterday, he does an interview with Time Magazine. I even forgot Time Magazine existed. It was nice to be reminded of that little thing. Like, I always confuse that with Life Magazine, which definitely doesn't exist.
Where do you get your People of the Year from, Mark?
That's the one time I'm reminded, I guess. So now twice. It's twice in a year where I'm reminded of what, Time Magazine is. But nonetheless, Adam Silver talked about trying to be optimistic with where the virus is at right now and trying to resume the NBA season.
Never full steam ahead, no matter what. I think one thing we're learning about this virus is much is unpredictable. And I think we and our players together with their union, the Players Association, look at the data on a daily basis. And if there was something to change that was outside of the scope of what we're playing for, certainly we would revisit, our plans. I'd also say, we're testing daily. We haven't put a precise number on it, but if we were to see a large number of cases and we were to see spread in our community, that of course would be a cause for us to stop as well.
That seems to be a guy that has a good handle on things. He's very realistic and he's not going to try to force an issue because ultimately we'll put other people's lives in jeopardy.
Yeah.
Their quality of life in jeopardy. And one thing that I think we have to try to also make sure we're keeping in mind is the fact that I understand the death rate is going down and that's great. But if we get to 100,000 cases a day, like Fauci just predicted, and you're already at 40,000 cases over the last 4 days, then that puts you back to where you were in March. That puts you back to the idea of thinking, oh, wait a minute, are we going to have enough ventilators again? Are we going to have enough hospital beds again? And fortunately, we did all right in that category, especially in our part of the world,
right.
In the northeast corner of the United States.
Yeah.
Arizona, I believe, hit capacity at one point.
Yeah, I heard yes. As of yesterday morning, they were at 90% hospital capacity. So it's very possible they're full.
So that's That's my bigger concern.
Yeah, the death rate going down is great. Don't get that wrong. But it's going down because more young people are getting it, which I don't want to say skews it, but it then, you know, those young people still have interaction with the world older people. So it's just continuing the spread.
Miami yesterday, Miami and another county in Florida, I guess close by to there, were reported that hospitals were almost at 100%. You know, it is. It's scary. You're right. Like, you know, we're no different in those numbers than we were. It was actually a little bit after March because once this shutdown happened, we had the spike, right? But you shut down for one person and now we're going back while this is happening.
And the reason I think you can say that with some confidence in terms of, look, that's what shut it down before, but we can handle this better now. First off, we're not handling it better now. The mortality rate is going down, which is good. But the minute you start to spike again, when you more so than we're at right now, like I said, you get the 100,000 cases, like Fauci just said, that's not going to be a good thing. That's going to be getting back to where you were, where you're starting to get concerned about whether or not you can take care of the amount of people that need to be taken care of. Yeah. And that's what people are losing sight of. Because when everyone sees the cases, they go, oh, yeah, tell me about mortality rate. The skeptics. They go, tell me about mortality rate. Well, yeah, because we're not, like, we're now better prepared than we were 3.5 months ago.
Yeah.
So, yes, of course the mortality rate is going to go down. Yes, younger people are getting it. But you also have to think about what you were thinking about 3.5 months ago. About, okay, a younger person might get it. It's not likely, but they might. Even if they do and they're asymptomatic, they might be passing it on to somebody that might not be able to survive it. So that's what the bigger concern would be. So in the NBA, if you are looking at somebody that might be carrying it to a Greg Popovich, for instance, that's something you'd have to be concerned about. You also have to be concerned about people leaving that bubble, coming back to the bubble. Whether that's workers or let's just say that's friends of players. So I don't know how they work it with trying to keep people out of the bubble that shouldn't be in the bubble. Like, how do you work guest associations here? Are you trapped in the bubble? What exactly are the guidelines about leaving? Whatever they are, I know they have a snitch line, right? Whatever they are, players are going to find ways around it.
Yeah, well, I think Silver said in that interview something to the effect of, you know, if somebody gets caught, I don't know if he said caught, but if somebody goes outside the bubble,
they're punished.
Then they're quarantined for 14 days and tested pretty much daily. Mm. So it was basically, even though you're quarantined,
your team will hate you.
Yeah, you're done. You're getting a 2-week suspension.
Mm. Shame.
Seriously, it's basically what it is. You're getting a 2-week suspension. Because even if you're quarantined, what difference does it make if you get tested every day? Test towards the end and then see if they're ready to go.
Shame.
But yeah, it kind of is.
Shamed and shunned from your teammates is the way
it's going to go. There's more, and the Stephen A. thing yesterday, there's just more questions than there is answers and stuff that we haven't even thought of yet. We'll have more questions in 2 days and we have, you know, 100 more than we have now.
Somebody tweeted me about my horniest of the 4 major sports and they'd said Antonio Cromartie checking in.
Ooh.
And I was like, yeah, that's a really good point.
That's like half the league, actually. Like, he almost has an entire, like, defense.
Him and Phillip Rivers, I think, account for 23% of all NFL children.
I want there to be, in the NFL in the future, maybe a charity game between
the Cromarties and the Rivers?
Yeah, exactly. obviously, the Rivers will be offensive. Defensive. And let's go from there. Everyone will play quarterback and defensive back. Yeah. That's basically what you'll have there. A full squad, more or less. So we'll continue to talk about the NBA and all that. But one of the other things that M. Silver got into yesterday that I thought was interesting was, again, going back to Florida. And this is where he talked about the bubble in Florida, even though it's spiked, the bubble in Florida trying to keep players safe.
Our industry is unusual because, in essence, for our key employees, our players, to do their jobs, they can't wear masks and they can't be physically distant. So we've come up, in essence, with a campus where players will be tested daily, you know, where if a player, of course, tests positive, they will quickly be contained. We will contact trace and we're limiting exposure otherwise to those players. But, you know, as our best understanding of this virus is that it's not going away anytime soon. So we feel we have to find a way to move forward, and this is our way.
That's a great thing to acknowledge by the commissioner, Adam Silver. Again, did this interview with Time Magazine yesterday. It makes a lot of sense what he's saying. There's nothing foolproof about this.
No.
And that's the bigger concern. And when you're investing $150 million into a bubble, you want to be sure that it's kind of as close to perfect as it can be. But it's still not going to be perfect.
I think this is what gives me faith that there will be a champion crown, back to the poll question. And I think it's why all four sports are going to give it a really, really good effort, because unfortunately, this is the new norm. And until a vaccine is created, you know, they're going to have to, if they want their leagues to make money and thrive as much as possible, they kind of have to work around it. And it's just the new reality we face.
Yeah, it's funny. So, Goff, remember I said to you guys a couple weeks ago, Goff came out with a little bit of an outbreak, and I was really anxious to see how they handled it, because they were moving forward, and they were one of the first ones. Well, Goff had four guys, either four test positive in 5 days or five test positive in four. And one of the golfers said, but they did the tracing, and it what made him happy was, it didn't come from another golfer. They're happy that it came from the outside in. And I was like, really? Wouldn't that make you more concerned that guys are bringing it in and you're not giving it to each other? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, now it's a whole new ball of wax. Like, okay, where are you guys going when you're not here? Now, basketball can contain that. That's what Adam Silver was talking about yesterday. So you're hoping that that's the case, that they're containing it. But the problem with containment is, now you're just, if someone, God forbid, gets it, now it's just among each other, right? You know, like, you're just giving it back and forth to each other, and they're right, hoping to avoid that. So it's tricky. It's a tricky situation.
Now, the other part is that I was thinking about this yesterday. When you talk about the, you know, more questions jump up from every one statement, like one statement is 10 more questions.
Right.
I don't feel like that anymore. I honestly feel like it's the same questions that just aren't answered. Like, yeah, because no,
and they
one,
won't be answered until they start.
It won't be answered until it's over.
Yeah, I mean, really, maybe training camps will have maybe a little bit more of an outbreak, but you're right. Like, nothing's going to get answered until they're trying.
There is a question right now from the commissioner of a major sport in the United States, Adam Silver, acknowledging the possibility of having to shut down the restart. I mean, that's what he's saying. When he acknowledges, oh, wait, we can't go full steam ahead. We can't do that. We don't know what's going to happen next. He's acknowledging the reality of it. He's not, again, arrogance. It does not apply here. And he's saying, this could start up, and we could be off and running and doing great with it, and then 2 weeks into it, completely shut down. Like, that's what he is acknowledging in this interview yesterday.
Well, that's like where Fauci has gotten himself in trouble on a national base, if we want to compare the two, where Fauci, you know, he's been asked to give predictions and asked to give this and give that, and he has to. That's his job. Well, it looks like it could be 100,000 deaths, and now, you know, it ups, and people are going back. But you said 100,000 before.
Right.
You know, he's put numbers on things, whereas Adam Silver is doing the, I don't know. It's going to have to be a wait-and-see type of thing. And we enjoy that he does that. We like that he does that, that he's saying, I don't know, we'll have to wait and see. And that's why so many other questions just arise. Like, if you don't know, who does know? And Mark, you brought up a great point earlier. Players are a little worried. And they should be.
But here's what's happening. It's July 1st. Players really aren't, they're not playing until what, August 1st?
Yeah.
So we have a month here.
That's when the first games start, yeah.
Can't start, what, next week?
Should be, yeah. I think, 10 days, a week, 10 days?
Yeah, I saw Josh Richardson yesterday post a photo, and it was, you know, 76, and he said, what up, Philly? And I was like, oh, they're all coming home.
So as this starts to get closer, more NBA players will get more concerned as reality sets in more and more every single day. So if the commissioner is coming out with this a little bit more than a month before players are actually playing their first game, maybe a week or two before they actually start practicing to get ready for this tournament, to get ready for the resumption of the season, what's going to happen in 2 weeks when those players are around each other? And I know they're getting tested every day and all that, but every day the actual games get closer and closer, and that's where players really start to think. That's when the wheels really start turning and concerns really start coming out. If they're that, like that right now, because I feel like, yeah, the MO maybe 2 months ago was, oh, we can start, we can get this done, let's party. We're young, all right, let's go. And now it's, oh, wait a minute, hold on a second, I got to be in a bubble?
Here it is.
Like, let's not forget that 2 weeks ago, we were talking about players saying, you know, maybe I don't want to restart up. Maybe I don't want to start things up again. Maybe I don't want to be in a bubble for 3.5 months. Maybe I don't because of political issues going on in the country right now. Maybe because I want to, you know, don't want to distract from that. All this is becoming more and more real to these players as they're talking about starting up again. Not even talking about, planning to start up again.
Yeah.
And it's the NFL, canceling their preseason game, their Hall of Fame game. It's the NFL saying, you know what, maybe we're not going to cash checks just yet from season ticket holders because we don't know how many fans are going to be allowed in stadiums, if any fans are going to be allowed in stadiums. So all this is something that is a very real, not fear, but concern that people have as sports fans. Like, will I get to watch an NBA tournament? Maybe a couple games. Maybe I'll be able to watch a whole thing go up until October. Who knows? Like, I don't know yet. Will I be able to go to an NFL game? Don't know. Will the NHL actually start? Don't know.
Yeah. Where are they going?
MLB? Yeah. Oh, the NHL's done a great job of saying nothing and then being the first to say something. So it's a thing that we're trying to track. We're trying to answer questions as they come up. But right now, the confidence isn't high among sports fans that they're going to at least get the NBA back. Like, I think they're confident it'll start. I don't think they're confident they're finished.
How about that? And you know what? Training camp or however you want to label it, they all get back together. Adam Silver and his collective group, that's a breath hold for the 10 days, 2 weeks, however long those guys are together. Because you're going to be testing every day when these guys go to camp. God forbid if things start popping up more and more and more. What do you do then? Like, we keep talking about them being in the bubble, and how is Adam Silver going to react if something happens there? Okay, well, these 22 teams are convening in a week, 10 days, right? Say the Sixers all get together in Camden, and boom, 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 boom. Uh-oh, four positive tests. Houston down here, boom, boom, boom. You know, what happens then? You know, so Adam Silver's going to be holding his breath, and the whole NBA and the people, you know, involved with those teams, they're going to be holding their breath that they can just get through training camp okay so that they can get to Orlando, right?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, so I that's telltale right there. It's baby steps. We got to get through that training camp before you can even really, you know, start to think about getting to Orlando.
As of right now, the early returns on our Twitter poll do indicate that the fans are saying, yeah, we're not so sure about finishing. And I thought people would be a little bit more optimistic. Last I looked, it was about 55% no, they will not crown a champion.
Wow.
I mean, it's, like I say yes, but would it shock me if it didn't finish? Absolutely not.
Everything's up in the air.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that kind of sucks about it. Like, we can argue, like Doug Peterson yesterday, right? Whether or not he deserved to be a top five head coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's things we can kick around with that.
There's no real answer to that one. But the real answer here is we don't know.
But there's more still a real answer to that one than there is to this.
Yeah.
At least that we can have, like, stats and wins and Super Bowl championship and different quarterbacks.
Who knows?
Yeah, but this, not so much.
Yeah, I just, the thing that makes me think they will is because this is the new norm. Because if they don't finish now, you're facing the same problems again in December for next season. Mm. So it's like, I hate to say they have to power through, because that sounds crude, but at some point they're not going to not play two seasons.
Yeah, it's not, I hear you, it's not crude, it's like, You almost feel bad that we got to push these guys through.
Because I'm talking about human beings risking their, like, I don't want to sound like they're just soldiers.
Yeah, but again, you know, we're here. There's guys on the, you know, on the construction site right now saying, we're here.
Oh, I hear the jackhammer outside.
Yeah, you know, it's that stuff.
The grocery stores are fully employed. You know, it's a job for them. And most Americans that have jobs are working right now.
I'm shocked our listeners are going on the side of, no, they're not going to crown a champion. I really thought that society now, especially a sports, you know, oriented society, that are our listeners would be like, no, it's going to be, I thought they'd be more positive.
In trying to, you know, obviously wrap my head around everything that's happening, when I look at the NBA and say, okay, what gives me confidence that they're actually going to complete this? It's that they've invested $150 million in just trying to complete this for what some people might look at, not me right now, at least, as a, you know, hollow championship. But really, I think also what they're investing in is whether or not they can play at all. And I'm not even talking about just this tournament, this wrapping up of the 2019-2020 season. I'm talking about next year. Like, we talked about the NFL just playing a couple of two preseason games just to make sure that every stadium can handle this. Well, the NBA might also be looking at this saying, this might be what we're doing December 1st. However we run these games might also be the way we run them in December. So they might be even looking at this as, at least we'll know for next year the way we have to run these games to be as safe as possible. Because it's not like all of a sudden coronavirus is going to be going away by December. Might have a vaccine, might have better ways to treat it. But, you know, we've taken some major steps even since March to now in treating the virus. So what's going to happen December 1st? It won't disappear. Bottom line is we have to make sure that we can still play basketball without worry about December shutting this down again.
That's a great point, because I mentioned earlier that Silver said maybe we can be a guideline for, you know, moving forward or whatever. You're reading more into it, and correctly so. He might even be talking about his own league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, yeah, we're going to try to set a guideline, but and at the same time, saying for us first.
$150 million
yeah.
to see whether or not we can play basketball in our new norm. That's what it is. It's not necessarily just about 2019-2020 season and giving that award, giving the championship, all that stuff. It's about, so what about next year?
Yeah.
This is our guess and test, for lack of a better, for a very, I guess, insensitive way to put it. This is our guess and test
yeah.
right now if you're
yeah.
the NBA. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975, if you want to get in on the conversation. Coming up, I saw this and I was encouraged by this, because whenever I see anybody practicing when they're not supposed to practice, quote unquote, but still trying to stay in shape, right? Regardless of who it is, this has actually gave me a little bit of a, maybe I'm going to like this guy. Let's see what he has to offer
right.
for this squad. We'll get into it when we get back. It has to do with the football world. We didn't get into it too much yesterday, but we'll touch on it when we come back here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, we got some football conversation, by the way. 6 o'clock hour brought to you by none other than United Rentals Power and HVAC. For all your power generation HVAC rentals in the tri-state area, visit unitedrentals.com. Well, we got some football conversation, but this is an interesting thing we were just talking about at the break. Pat Egan had an interesting suggestion, but Jamie, I kind of like yours. There are things in our life, like my wife bought a Peloton.
Yeah.
That happened.
Yeah. Welcome to the cult, Celeste.
I had no idea how much Peloton.
Oh,
cost.
They're not cheap.
Yeah. And then you had a conversation with Addy yesterday, Jamie, about this little golf round we had yesterday at our friend's club.
Yeah, apparently my wife thought
golf was free for everyone ever.
More or less. So I didn't really enjoy breaking that news to her, because now every time I play, she's going to be like, well, how much is this one costing? We were supposed to be saving money.
You had to expect this to be coming, because you even said to me and Mark off the air a couple days ago, you were like, I've golfed a lot lately.
Yes, and you have.
Some have been free. Like, I've been...
I know. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, I know.
It doesn't matter. You're going to get the kickback somehow, way. And you got it yesterday.
The hammer was coming.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But she thought...
We'll see you next summer.
So her understanding of country clubs, which actually gave me like a hearty belly laugh, and she took it well. It wasn't like I was laughing and inciting her. It was a funny
You were laughing with her.
Yeah, we were having a good laugh, because I was like, what do you think golf costs? She thought that country club members could bring their friends for free.
Right.
Like, if our buddy Dan invited the three of us out yesterday, which he did, the three of us were free. And Dan's membership took care of the four of us. And I was just like, no.
And she was laughing just as heartily as you were?
No, she still finds it stupid. I was like, well, if you took somebody to the gym, you have to pay like the $10 guest fee for your guest.
Yeah.
It's the same concept. Exactly. The country club is a business.
Right. Did you also tell her that you got two meals out of it?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Oh, yeah.
And lovely meals at that.
And like ice cream sandwiches nowadays cost what? Like $50? You got them for free yesterday.
Yeah. So I might have shot myself in the foot with future golfing endeavors.
Oh, we won't see you no more.
Yeah, I'm done.
It blew my mind that she thought members could just bring everybody for free.
Golf is a funny thing where I think, and I don't mean to be mean here, but I think women who aren't interested in it, if their husbands or significant others play, they don't want to.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.